Blog Talk Radio.
Nuggets deliver good on you.
You are born with a great.
Nuggets deliver good on you.
That great is your gift.
Nuggets deliver good on you.
It's a divine enablement.
Nuggets deliver good on you.
If you work your great, the great will work for you. Company, teach the lesson.
Try to take your confidence.
Yes, they will.
For the systems were designed
to
make you doubt what heaven said.
Don't you doubt.
The systems of the world.
The systems
try to take your confidence.
Yes, they will.
For the systems were designed
to
make you sit down on your gift.
Don't you let.
But the gift God gave to you.
This gift.
Give it back to him.
Offer it up.
When he sees it operating.
Yes.
It's a compliment to him.
Give him glory.
For the gift God.
Offer it up.
For the gift, it will make room. Position for waiting in the kingdom. The gift, it looks good on you.
Your gift,
it looks good on you.
Looking good.
The gift, it looks good on you.
I say your gift,
it looks good.
Yeah.
The gift, it looks good on you.
Work your grace.
It looks good on you.
My gift works for me.
The gift, it looks good.
Yeah.
And you wear it well.
And you're wearing your gift well.
God has
graced
you.
Works for you.
It looks good.
Tell somebody, just be you.
The gift, it looks good on you. It looks good on you.
Can't be a better
the
you than you.
Good.
And you wear.
And you wear it well.
God has graced you.
God has graced you. And
come
you
on, let's take it up.
Everywhere.
Alto.
It looks good on you.
Yeah.
It looks good on you.
Y'all wearing alto
the
wear.
Gift, it looks good on you.
Say it again. Yeah.
It looks good.
With attitude.
It looks good on you.
And you wear it.
And you wear it.
Come on, let's encourage somebody to be themselves.
God has graced you.
God has graced you to be
you.
It's an honor. Take it up. Soprano.
It looks good on you.
Yeah.
It looks good on you.
That's right, soprano.
It looks good on you.
I see you.
It looks good.
Y'all wearing soprano wear.
It looks good on you.
You're graced in that area.
It looks good on you.
Work your grace. Operating your grace.
Hey!
If you're operating your grace, it'll make you prosperous.
God has
graced you to be you. Honor it.
Take
it. Sinner, you got it.
It looks good on you.
Come on, sinner.
It looks good.
Wear your grace.
It looks good on you.
Work your grace.
The gift, it looks good.
That's it.
It looks good on you.
Where you at?
The gift, it looks good.
And you wear it.
And you everywhere.
God has graced us all.
God has graced
with a gift.
You.
Now wear it well.
And you everywhere.
This is it.
The gift, it looks good.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Network, your global transformation station for this Monday, March 8th, 2021. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and tonight we are on lesson two of our ministerial training entitled Leadership the Jesus Way. But as always, we begin each and every program with a word of prayer. So won't you bow with me? Lord Jesus, I come to your throne of grace, asking that you would please empty me of self and pour into me your spirit, so that I might have teaching and preaching power on tonight. Lord God, I pray that you bless the listeners, Lord. Bless the new ministers, Father. Give them a heart after your own. Help them to run their race with honor, Father God. Help them to run their race with love. And Lord, bless the servant leaders that are already existing. I pray that this training would also enlighten them so that they will learn to celebrate the gifts of the members of their body. So, Lord, I just thank you. I just give you the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, saints of God, young ministers, new ministers, rather. Last week, we talked about how do I know I'm called? Well, we talked about how God deals with us as individuals, so he doesn't do the same thing with everyone. We all have different experiences when we receive our calling to ministry. Now, however, there is a pattern that can be found in the life of people called to ministry. And ultimately, you know you are called by revelation. But as we looked at some things last week that could help us to determine whether or not we were called to ministry. People called to ministry receive their calling straight from God. And I know there's some people, you know, they say, oh, Jesus appeared to them to give them their calling. But that's not most of us. And I've heard others say that they've heard an audible voice telling them, you know, that they're called. That's not most of us either. What most of us have is either an inner voice or a conviction that pushes us to love, serve, and seek God beyond that of most people. Okay? That's what people that are called to ministry do. People that are called to ministry, they're going to serve. Oh, hallelujah. And they love serving. You know, I've just noticed that most people that are called to ministry, they are people that have worked wholeheartedly in their local churches. They're already involved in things in their community. So, you know, they serve. People called to ministry will manifest grace and gifts that are visible to others. When God calls a person to ministry, there are supernatural gifts that will manifest in the life of that person. And these gifts will flow naturally and effortlessly. In fact, they may be so natural to you that you might not even be aware you're flowing in the grace. But others will notice. People will notice your prayers are more effective. When you preach the gospel to others, you are effective. When you speak, people want to hear. You have a deeper understanding of the scriptures. There's a greater authority in your words. There is a greater spiritual power and manifestation. All of these things will happen and grow throughout your life and your ministry. People called to ministry are hardwired for the ministry they are called to. Every ministerial calling was preordained by God before the person was even born. So when we're born, God has already hardwired us with certain characteristics that are going to go with our calling. They are inseparable from us as people. Being a pastor is not simply to have the title of pastor or receiving a degree from a Bible college like we talked about. Our personality, our way of thinking, the way we conduct ourselves, that's all hardwired into our calling, okay? Then we also looked at people that are called to ministry will have a greater desire for God and the things of God than average Christians. You know, when I compare my Christian walk and that of other ministers with that of most Christians, I find that we have a much deeper desire for the things of God. And you know what? We are willing to die to our desires and ourselves, pick up our cross, and we're going to follow Jesus. We are willing to sacrifice more for the sake of others. We are willing to seek out the will of God when others are out having fun. We are willing to ask God to convict us when we are wrong, and we are willing to ask God to deal with us in the area of holiness. Now, I'm not saying that the average Christian isn't willing to sacrifice things for God, but the minister is willing to sacrifice themselves for the purposes of God. So that's sort of in a nutshell what we talked about last week. This week, we're going to begin our conversation about identifying and developing our spiritual gifts. Now, some of you might be thinking, okay, now what exactly are spiritual gifts, Bishop? Well, the Greek word for spiritual gift is charisma, and it's a gift of grace or a gift involving grace on the part of God as the donor. Now, since spiritual gifts are rooted in grace, they are not earned and they are not deserved, and they are not only given to special people. Therefore, quite simply put, spiritual gifts are special abilities provided by the Holy Spirit to Christians for the purpose of building up the body in Christ, which in turn builds up the kingdom of God. Now, the list of gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10 includes wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, speaking in tongues, and interpretations of tongues. Now, you can find similar lists in Ephesians 4, 7 through 13, and Romans 12, 3 through 8. Now, the gifts of the Spirit are simply God's way of enabling true believers to do what he has called us to do. 2 Peter 1 and 3 says, the divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are part of everything we need to fulfill his purposes for our lives. Now, let me talk to you about the role of the Spirit. Being equipped, saints of God, because like I told you last week, God equips who he calls. So being equipped is about allowing God's Spirit to work in us and not relying on our abilities. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 7 says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by putting on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, hallelujah, but of power and of love and of sound mind. So being equipped is about God's worthiness and not about our worthiness. We must realize that serving God by using our spiritual gifts is about his power of love. And when we truly come to know that, then we don't have anything to fear, because we know that God is in the driver's seat through the power of his Holy Spirit. Now, spiritual gifts are only one important part of the Christian life. They are not the only or most important part. But when they are not understood or not applied, they are deeply missed in the body. There are three primary scriptural texts on spiritual gifts in the New Testament, as I have said, Ephesians 4, 7 through 13, Romans 12, 3 through 8, 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. Now, God has provided each believer with spiritual gifts for the purposes of strengthening the body and for glorifying him. Ephesians 4, 7 through 8 says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. If you are a believer, then God has given you spiritual gifts as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit in your lives. Now, unbelievers can be talented in a lot of ways. But you see, spiritual gifts are going to be absent without the Holy Spirit's presence. Okay? So if we're not submitted and committed and yielded to the Holy Spirit, then no gifts are going to develop. Now, let me tell you what the purpose of the gifts are. Spiritual gifts are always mentioned in the context of the body of believers when discussed in scriptures. See, I just want you to understand there are no long range of spiritual gifts. Yep. Seeking feedback from others and being open to counsel are key features of spiritual gifts. Here we go, saints. One of our favorite scriptures, Ephesians 4:11-12. And he gave some apostles, watch this, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for edifying of the body of Christ. Hello. If you've been called to ministry, you're going to be edifying the body of Christ. You're going to be building up other believers. Romans 12:4-8 says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:13-14 are all a part of one topic the Apostle Paul was teaching about. And what he was teaching about was diversity and unity in Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 describes God's design for spiritual gifts as being diverse, but being connected in one body, which is, and motivated by love. 1 Corinthians 13 describes all spiritual gifts must be motivated by love, or they're worthless. And appropriately used, 1 Corinthians 14 describes the importance of timing and the appropriate use of gifts. This is why I am taking the time, hallelujah, to talk to you ministers about spiritual gifts, because I don't want you running around out there wearing yourself out trying to do things that you have not been equipped to do. Amen? So, how many gifts are there? Well, let me see. This is difficult to know for sure, and it has been debated for years and years. But the three broad, and I do mean broad gifts, are ministry gifts, like a pastor or evangelist, service gifts, like giving, mercy, administration, and then there are miraculous gifts, speaking in tongues, healing. Okay, I'm going to break this down to you. There are two main positions among Christians about the miraculous gifts: charismatic and Christians who believe the miraculous gifts continue to be expressed as they were in the Bible time, okay? Now, there's another group of people that are also Christians who believe the miraculous gifts have essentially ceased since the end of the first century. Now, let me explain something to you. Since God is the giver of gifts, He is also the one who has the power to allow or to withhold their use as he sees fit. Successionist. I don't care what the successionists say. I don't care what the charismatics say. God decides how he will endow, when he will endow, and what gifts he will endow. Now, ministers, there are public and private gifts, okay? Others readily observe some spiritual gifts publicly, while other gifts are used more in the background. Now, public gifts are often easy to observe and recognize. That's like teaching and pastoring, all that good stuff. But private gifts, now catch this, private gifts are often easy to overlook because we don't always see people doing them, like extending mercy or giving to somebody, okay? It is important not to value public gifts over private gifts because both are important to God. Some spiritual gifts tend to look spiritual while others look common. Spiritual looking gifts have to do with things that appear to be closely linked to the gospel message and ministry, evangelism, pastoring. Common looking gifts are no less important to God, but may not appear to be spiritual at first glance. Maybe you've been called to be an advocate for children. Maybe you've been called to be a foster care parent. Maybe you've been called your ministry is to bless the homeless. Well, you know, at first glance, that doesn't seem necessarily spiritual. You know, so, but see, the Lord God said, in all our ways, acknowledge him. But we got to remember that is still, our gifts are just one piece of our puzzle. Because we have all been uniquely created, gifted, shaped, and molded by God. You have a shape. I'm going to break this acronym down for you. You have a shape. S, you have spiritual gifts given to you by God. H, you have heart, things that you feel strongly about, things that you are passionate about. A, you have abilities, natural talents that you can use. P, you have personality. God wants to use you in your personality when you relate to others. He doesn't want you mimicking Joyce Meyer or mimicking this preacher or mimicking that preacher. He wants to use you in your personality. And E, we have experiences. See, God will gift us based on our experiences. So I want to ask you ministers tonight, what are you passionate about? Passions are strong emotions that can be given to us by God to help influence how we use our gifts. Now, everyone, including unbelievers, have an array of talents and ability. However, in a believer's life, God will extend and empower what a person could normally do to accomplish his spiritual purposes by exercising spiritual gifts. Now, God often uses a person's talent as a platform for them to exercise a spiritual gift. For instance, God will use the individual's talents for organization to exercise the spiritual gift of administration. God gives a school teacher the spiritual gift of teaching. Conversely, spiritual gifts can also be seen in ways which show God has done something beyond what a person could normally do. God gave the apostles the ability as unlearned men to speak in diverse languages of all the hearers, as recorded in Acts chapter 2. In either situation, we acknowledge the empowerment is from God and God alone. And we are motivated by God's priorities as found in his holy word and not by self-promotion. We are vessels of God, and we have to be vessels of honor and not dishonor, because we are vessels for God's power, and we're not the source of the power. In a nutshell, the difference between spiritual gifts and talents can be characterized thusly. A talent is the result of genetics and or training, while spiritual gift is the result of the power of the Holy Spirit. A talent can be possessed by anyone, Christians and non-Christians alike, while spiritual gifts can only be possessed by Christians. Now, while both talents and spiritual gifts should be used for God's glory and to minister to others, spiritual gifts are focused on these tasks, while talents can be used entirely for non-spiritual purposes. Finally, God has given you a unique personality and has brought experiences into your life which have further molded you and completed the shape he desires for you to have. God's design in your life is pleasing to him, and it's for his purposes. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, "But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him." You see, we have different roles to fulfill with spiritual gifts. In one series of Bible passages, we are told to covet, desire, and excel. Listen. Excel. 1 Corinthians 12:31. "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." Hallelujah. He said to covet. And then it says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, "Follow after charity," or love, "and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy." Covet, desire, excel. 1 Corinthians 14:12. "Even so ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church." And in yet another passage, we are called to stewardship. 1 Peter 4:10-11, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Hallelujah. So we're supposed to want, really want, spiritual gifts, the things of God: love, long-suffering, peace, joy, the ability to serve others. And do you know something? Each of our spiritual gifts can be strength to one. We can be a strength to one another when it is empowered by the love of Christ. However, each gift also brings with it the potential to be a weakness. For example, someone with the gift of mercy may be tenderhearted and compassionate, but they may also easily be hurt by others and may have difficulty dealing with conflict. In another example, someone with a strong gift of administration may be skilled at organizing people and getting projects done, but may become impatient or bossy. The word is clear that if spiritual gifts are not motivated by love, they are meaningless. Apostle Zeta on Sunday before this yesterday, myself, we expounded on the love chapter. So we need love to motivate our spiritual gifts. Now, ministers, let me tell you something. There are some spiritual gift blockers. There are some hindrances, and you need to know about them, because I need you to be praying about them, and I need you to understand. Many Christians assume recognizing they have spiritual gifts is the same as being proud. Uh-uh. That's not accurate. That is not accurate. It's, you know, spiritual gifts are bestowed by God, and we are stewards. Spiritual gifts do not refer to the giftedness in the sense that some people are special while others are not. But I want you to know that pride is self-exaltation. And pride and the fear of looking proud, that is not going to help us. We cannot come in with this false humility. You know, we're not exalting ourselves, we're exalting God. So we have to humbly, you know, use our gifts. Romans 12 and 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." Instead of making us proud or self-reliant, understanding our worth, understanding that our spiritual gifts and talents come from Jesus, should lead us to want to serve him even more. It should make us want to serve him faithfully. And I don't want you to get into the habit of overvaluing gifts, you know, valuing one gift over another. Our goal as ministers should be to have a biblical view of spiritual gifts and recognize that God can use them in whatever manner he sees fit to use them within his body. It's also important to acknowledge the role of each of the gifts, because they belong to God. Now, some church cultures tend to value some gifts to the exclusion of others. Sometimes believers are using their spiritual gifts and don't even know it. When this tends to happen, when this happens, they tend to, you know, devalue the gift. It doesn't seem special to them. They get tunnel vision, you know. Some people get tunnel vision when they feel so strongly about a particular role, mission, or ministry. And sometimes they accidentally start to view other opportunities as less important or less spiritual. Now, this can lead us to devalue other roles and ministries, sometimes to the point of becoming judgmental. When you have a hammer, everything else becomes a nail. So please, don't start, you know, and also please don't start comparing. Comparing keeps many of us from using our spiritual gifts. Oh, she does that so much better than me. I can't do much, so why try? You know what? Old flathead Satan wins when we compare ourselves to each other. 2 Corinthians 10 and 12 says, "But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." You see, God never intended for us to have that, be the best at something in order for us to use our gifts. There's always going to be somebody better than us. They're going to have better looks, more money, more intelligence. They're going to be stronger. They're going to have better social skills. So what? Accept it. Because the sooner we accept it, the sooner we stop trying to perform up to impossible standards or be somebody we're not, you know. We just need to start serving God the way he created us to be. So we've got, you know, comparing, we got pride, we've got, you know, valuing gifts over other gifts, we've got comparison. The next thing is good old the fear of failure. That's it. Now, you know what? What happens is when we start getting afraid, our fears can take our focus off of God's ability, and it leads us to the following. We will stop trying. We'll avoid. We'll miss opportunities. We'll worry. And then we'll procrastinate. You see, spiritual gifts were never meant to bring limitations on our willingness to be helpful. Just because we have a spiritual gift in one area doesn't mean that we shouldn't help with other opportunities in other areas. For example, I'm sorry, I can't help you with the church cleaning. I only have the gift of teaching. Huh. Well. The Word of God says we're supposed to help out wherever we can. The other thing, the other reason that, you know, that blocks our spiritual gifts is we won't submit. We just won't let go and let God. You see, sometimes when people feel like they're called to a certain role or opportunity, they assume people should either agree or get out the way. Now, identifying a spiritual gift does not give us a license to become high-minded or be unwilling to seek and accept counsel. And also, be careful of this phrase right here. God told me. You see, this can be used as a way to avoid accountability. Remember, the Bible repeatedly affirms spiritual gifts are to be used in the context of the body of believers. So as ministers, God is going to create, he is going to equip you with the gifts that he wants you to have. Okay, another fear is the fear of what people are going to think. Who cares what they think? You better worry about what God knows. The unwillingness to stretch. Spiritual gifts, you know, like I said, we got to stretch out. We got to submit, you know. And then we have to grow up, okay? The process of growing up and maturing spiritually is a part of every aspect of the Christian walk, including spiritual gifts. Our spiritual gifts will move milk to meat. As we grow from milk to meat, hallelujah, we need to help each other grow through our support, accountability, through our mentoring, through our discipleship, through our prayers. You know, and don't believe, don't fall into this trap. Don't let Satan get you. You know, don't fall into the trap of believing that someone who has a spiritual gift will find tasks in their area to be easy. How spiritual gifts are expressed in your life will likely change and continually shift as you grow. And God moves you from glory to glory across your lifespan. Now, the first thing that we need to do is I want to talk to you tonight. Hallelujah. We're going to, I'm going to ask you some questions. I want to talk to you about all of you. I'm going to get your opinions right now about what you're feeling about what you have heard so far. Hallelujah. I'm going to go first to Minister Tina. Hallelujah. So, beloved, are you picking up what Bishop was putting down?
Hoo-wee, yes. Yes, ma'am.
Amen. So what have you learned about spiritual gifts so far?
Well, that God gives each one of us a spiritual gift. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the same gift as someone else.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Evangelist Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
So, my darling, what did you pick up from what we've heard so far?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say that I'm feeling more encouraged by the classes. And
Amen.
Thank you. And some of the things that I thought, like you said, you know, we might not feel, if we don't do something right or whatever, we might feel like, oh, well, maybe we weren't called. I used to have that feeling. And now I know that, well, the light is being shined on the fact that it's not that I haven't been called. It's just that I have to be more taught. I need to learn more.
Yeah, amen.
I'm so thankful for the classes, because it's not that you're not called and, oh, Flathead will try to deter you from your calling by putting such thoughts in your mind. And so it's a blessing to have these classes so that we can just learn more and be more confident in ourselves and what God is instilling in us. So I thank you for it.
Amen. Well, we're going to continue on, and we're going to get to Mother Mattie. I see she's in here, but I just want to talk to you, ministers. I really do, because, you know, the enemy does not want you to skip to Malou into your call. He really doesn't. And we cannot, we have to know that we know that we know that, first of all, we are submitted to God. We are listening for the voice of God in everything that we do. Now, we can't get caught up in, ooh, I don't speak in tongues, or ooh, I don't do this, or I don't do that. Because, see, while you're doing that, you're being distracted from God, the Holy Spirit, trying to develop your gifts. And it's a process. You know, what you hear in me today is over 30 years of teaching and preaching and walking and praying and being obedient. I wouldn't have been able to do what I do. But you know what? As a little girl, hallelujah, my mama had me all up in theater. She had me in speech and debate. She had me taking foreign languages. Now, you know, as I look back over my life, all I can say is hallelujah. Because, see, I love language. And that's why I love other nations. I'm not afraid of people. So I'm sure going to tell them about Jesus. And I just love to bring people, illuminate people, to bring them out of the dark and into the light. And when you know that that's your only motivation, when you know that, you know, you are growing in grace, you have to give yourself time to move from meat to milk. And that's not just in the Word. That's in your process of being a minister, a called and sent minister. Now, as I said last week, we were all called to the ministry of reconciliation. We were all called to administer love to one another. But now the called and sent have to know. And they have to know what their gifts are. So we have to know what our gifts are so we can really empower, impact, and edify the body of Christ. And so I'm going to, next week, what we're going to do is I'm going to tell you, well, I'm going to start, first of all, there are, when we are developing our gifts, and we're identifying and developing our gifts, first of all, you got to be a believer. Because like I said, you can't have any spiritual gifts without Jesus on the scene. Okay? And then you have to determine your spiritual gifts. And next week we're going to go. You know, you need to pray for God's direction. You need to talk to people who know you well and get your feedback, get their feedback. You know, seek out your spiritual mentors who know your strengths and your weaknesses. Seek counsel, you know. And look at areas in your own life where you feel inspired to serve God and others. Now, I'm going to be giving you all a spiritual gift inventory so you can just personally look at, you know, get an ideal of what you may be good at. You know, it's not a know-all, end-all thing, but it is a way for you to kind of know what way God might be calling you. Now, when you're developing your spiritual gifts, you have to pray for opportunity. And remember, please remember, you don't have to be the best at something to use a gift. God will give you opportunities to use your gift. Because he's given them to you, like I said, and he will allow you to grow in your ability to express that gift. And Minister Tina, Evangelist Michelle, don't be afraid to try. Never be afraid to try. Be aware of hindrances, because you know that's from Flathead, you know. But you need to learn what works for you and what doesn't. You know, you can, like I said, you don't have to look at anybody else when you're doing your thing. Just let the Holy Spirit dwell up in you. You know, you have to use your gift, and you have to pray for empowerment and direction for the Holy Spirit. And you have to use what you've been given by for God's glory. You know, we have to watch out for the tendency to point out what other people should be doing. We should be busy about encouraging others to seek their spiritual gifts as we continue to seek ours. Okay? So, a spiritual gift is simply the expression of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer, which will help them to serve the body of Christ. Don't be afraid of the definition of, you know, of spiritual gifts. And next week what we're going to do is I'm going to take you through the different gifts and tell you exactly what they mean, because some of you may be gifted in areas that you don't even know. Because do you know that faith is a gift? Hallelujah. Some people trust God. Hallelujah. I don't care what's going on. They're going to trust Jesus. You know. So, and some people, they're all about service and helps. You know. They're missionaries. They're on the hospitality committees. They, you know, they on the welcoming committee. They be calling the sick. They be, you know, they out there just serving people. And you know what? What I love about them, those people, is that they work in the trenches. They don't need their name on a program. They don't need no appreciation dinners. They don't need anything but to know that God is pleased. And a lot of times, nobody sees what they do. Nobody sees them when they're praying on the phone with people. Nobody sees them when they slip that homeless person a couple of dollars. Nobody sees them when they're taking care of children or they're concerned about a little child that they see out roaming around by themselves. Nobody sees that. But all of those things, discernment, you see a child alone on the street. You, God has given you that gift of discernment to know, something not quite right here. Where is child mama? You just don't walk on by. You know, you see something strike, something hit your gut. Your spirit, that Holy Spirit hit your gut. you're going to take notice. So I'm going to have Mother Matt T come in, and she, you know, she's a missionary, so she is in leadership. Mother Matt T, am I teaching the young ministers right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, you are. The program is very good. It is very good, and you're right. God gives everybody special gifts. Sometimes you don't know where your gifts lie. Like, for example, I used to volunteer at the Telegraph Ministry Center church, and it's a pantry at 5316 Telegraph, and that's a food pantry. And I was there every week, every Wednesday and Friday. They open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. each week, and I was there. That was one of my gifts. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. So I know outreach. Outreach is my one of my gifts, and the only reason why
yes,
I'm not
ma'am.
There is because of COVID-19.
Yes, ma'am.
There's no social distance in there, but other than that, that's one of my gifts is reaching out to people. So everybody have different gifts. Sometimes the Lord may not tell you exactly what your gift is, but sometimes later on in life you find out what your gift is. That happened to me. I didn't know that.
Amen. You know, a lot of times you'll find out that your gift, you've been walking in your gift all along. You know,
yeah.
Because a lot of time God uses what, you were predestined before
uh-huh.
the foundation of the world. And you know, God will have us living in a way that is going to lead up to right now. And
yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? So, again, like I say, when I look back over my life and I'm saying, hey, you know, when I was taking all them languages and I was, you know, I didn't know that I was going to have a global ministry, but apparently God
mm-hmm.
did. You know,
oh, yeah.
And
oh,
so
yeah.
He was, you know, I was looking back and I was just like the song Daryl Coley sang. He was preparing me and he was
uh-huh.
preparing. He prepares all of us. You know,
uh-huh.
He will give us a love for others at a young age. You might be that one that used to share your candy on the playground with somebody else, or you might be that one that would see that little girl, that little boy looking kind of shabby, you know, and you take them home to mother and have her fix them up a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
You might be that one, you know. God might have been preparing you. You might have had to go through some struggles. You might have had to go through some hard times. You might have had to go through some things so that now you can minister to people with conviction because you've been there, done that. You're not looking at what's on the news. You're not reading what's in a magazine. You know what was there. You know what you've been through. And can't nobody tell your story like you can tell your story. And God will take every last one of those experiences, and he will turn them for your good. Every negative thing in your life, God was preparing you. He was strengthening you. He was letting you know you can make it. You can do it. Because in ministry, that's the kind of attitude you're going to have. Because the world is getting more evil by the day.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is.
And
yeah,
they're not going to want to see us coming. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to have to have a tough skin. We're going to have to know our position, know our lane, get in it, and march. And I mean, we can't be looking to the left. We can't be looking to the right. We can't worry about what Sister Susie doing. We can't be worrying about what Brother Bob is doing. We need to be worrying about what God is telling us to do.
That's right.
And we need to be doing it immediately. You know, if God gives us something to do, yes, he will develop our gifts, and it is a process. But you know what? If God gives you something to do, it ain't going to take him forever for you to do it.
Right.
Because time is winding down. And see, mm-hmm. I got to give it to you like this, ministers, because, see, I want you to get it. I don't have time to spoon feed anybody. I know
mm-hmm.
I might come across as hard sometimes, but see, I don't want you going out there getting it wrong. I don't want you going out there allowing the enemy to use you and you don't even know it. I don't want you to allow the enemy to make you afraid and cause you not to walk in what God has called you to do. Don't be second guessing God.
Mm-hmm.
If God has called you to do something, you better walk it out. And I'll tell you something else. When God gives you gifts for his purpose in your life, honey, let me tell you something. He will work that thing. Things will just come to you. Knowledge will come to you. Discernment will come to you. Wisdom will come to you. You know, you will start seeing things in a different light. As you begin to pray and the Lord begins to show you what you need to know in order for you to live out the purpose in your life that he has called you to, the more you begin to understand. Like I said last week, there is a power that comes from being able to just share God's word. And I'm not talking about what the theatrics and all of that. I'm just talking about share his word. Glorify him. Edify somebody. You know, edify, build up somebody. So I just praise God. And I want to ask you, Evangelist Michelle, you know, you have the gift of compassion and mercy and giving. You have, I want to ask you, just share with the saints how you use your love of reaching out to people, being an intercessor, how that affects you and how that makes you feel when you know you're glorifying God. Tell these ministers that might not know, because we want them to know it's not a prideful thing, but it's a humble thing. Come on in the room, Evangelist Michelle.
Thank you, Bishop. It's definitely not a prideful thing. When I'm feeding the hungry, and finding housing for those who are less fortunate to have housing, and then when I get that place for them, I know, like I said before, it's a victory for God. It's not about me. It's never been about me. It's always about God. It's about that child having a warm place to stay and having food in their belly, because that could be me. That could be my grandchild or my child. And so I'm just thankful to just be a part of God's ultimate united ministry in just helping everyone. So, you know, it just makes you feel good inside that you're a part of something that's positive. It feels good to be just a part of something positive. There's so much negativity in the world. And so to be a part of something positive, it gives you such a good feeling inside.
Amen. Minister Tina, I know that your love is for helping battered women and children. And so just tell us how being involved in that ministry has impacted you.
Well, God had put it upon my heart 3 years ago when my father passed away to share my story, and I didn't realize how humble it would make me by sharing my story, because it allowed other people, or it has allowed, pardon me, other people to entrust in me, and they share their story, and I realized my story isn't so bad. God has delivered me as well as he's delivered them, and I'm
Amen.
Blessed because I thought I had it bad all these years. It was bad, but I mean, I've come to realize there's people in the world that have it way worse. And by just sharing helps others as well, especially in the battered situation, the battered women and children that are in shelters or whatnot and trying to get up back on their feet and get back to a so-called normal type of life, because they don't know what that is. And just, it's just been a very humbling experience for me. every day.
Amen. You see, you, I want you, all of you ministers, and there's a lot of people in here. So let, and I know if you have a comment or question, you can press your one at any time. If you're in, and I will address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number. If you are in our chat room and you have a comment or question, I want you to first type it, and I will answer it to the best of my ability. And trust me, I don't claim to know everything. If I don't know the answer, I bet you I'll research God's word, and I'll get back to you with that answer on next week. Praise God. So, but I want you to understand that ministry is very humbling, because when I think that the Lord would use me, it just makes you, it brings you to tears. You know, when I see a child that gets a sandwich, or when I get to go into motels where families are living, you know, just check to check, and, you know, when you can dress up like an angel and go take them some toys, and they say, you know, wow, I got toys for Christmas, or, you know, you see a man and give him a card to go get a hot coffee and a sandwich, the look in their faces, the gratitude in their faces makes you just want to praise God. And it makes you want to just be grateful for all that you have and all that you can do. Ministry is about connecting with people, building relationships with people. It's not about running around from church to church, getting up in a pulpit. It's about reaching out to people on the daily, touching their lives in a way that they might come to know Jesus Christ. It's not about flash. It's not about glitz. It's not about glamour. It's hard work. And a lot of times, people are just waiting for someone to notice that they're hurting. And when you do notice that they're hurting, a lot of times, you're going to hear some stories that's going to curl your hair. But we have to actively listen. We have to actively pray. We have to share the word of God, not our opinion, not our pain, our personal pain, or our emotion. We must share the word of God, because it is only the word of God that has the power to heal. It is only the word of God that has the power to save. It is the word of God that has the power to raise people from that miry, mucking pit of hell and help them to walk in the marvelous light. We had to point them to Jesus at every turn.
Yes.
So ministry, next week we're going to be talking about our spiritual gifts, so you can be more empowered, because I am sure many of you have gifts that you might not even be aware that you have. So I think that by teaching you about spiritual gifts so that you will understand spiritual gifts, you won't be afraid of them, you won't worry about the ones that you don't have, but you will concentrate on allowing God to develop the ones that you do have. So if there is nothing else, I want to thank the Spirit Alive ministers, Evangelist Michelle Scott and Minister Tina. I want to thank both of them for being in the house. I want to thank Mother Matt T. She's the watchman on the wall. See, she's keeping me straight. Okay. And so I want to thank all of these ladies for speaking up, and I want to thank all of you for being in here and listening. And I pray that you have heard something that has truly helped you, that will, because we have to be ministers the Jesus way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let us pray. Thank you, God. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I just thank you for our lesson tonight. I want to thank you for Evangelist Michelle, for Mother Matty, and for Minister Tina, for sharing, Father God, and for helping to teach the lesson. I want to thank you, Father God, for all that you're doing in this ministry. Father, I just pray that you just help us all to become what you would want us to be, Father. Help us to walk worthy of our call. Help us to listen to your voice at all times. Help us to never grow weary of doing good. Let us understand that we are ministers. That means we are servants. We are here to serve you, Father God, as we and serve through serving your people. So, Father, I just want to thank you for this time and this season. I want to ask your special blessings upon Mother Mattie. We continue to stand in prayer and in agreement with her as you, Lord God, straighten out things in her life, that you make it right, Lord God. Yes. Cover her, protect her, lead her, guide her. Continue to bless her, press down, shaking together, and running over. Lord, I ask that you continue to help these two beautiful ministers to run on, Father. Yes. God. Bless their household. Yes. Bless everything that they touch, Lord, that they put their hands to, Father God. Hallelujah, because you have said that you are rewarder of our obedience, God. So I just pray that you bless them. Bless their husbands, Lord. Bless their children, Father God. Oh, hallelujah. Bless the people, the souls that they are going to win for you and your glory, Father God. I'm just thanking you in advance because I know the increase is coming. Hallelujah. And I just praise you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to you.
Thank you, Bishop. God bless you. I love you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you. This is, we love you. This is Shalene Cook with her with our ministerial training, Leadership to Jesus Way. And I was joined tonight by Minister Tina Brown, Mother Mattie Scott, and Evangelist Michelle Scott. I want to thank you all for listening. We pray in the name of Jesus that you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from my household to your household, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, everyone, and God bless you. Amen. Thank you, ladies. God bless you.
God bless you.
Good night.
Love you all.
Thank you.
Love you.
Thank you.
Love you all. Love you too.
Love you.